Good morning, everyone. My name's Dennis. I'm going to be sharing the message with you today and giving Doug a bit of a break. He's been going pretty well full bore since this COVID-19. In fact, he's been going full bore since 2014, actually, when he's taken over the pastor job of this church, Open Arms. And I'm glad you're all here. I'm happy to share with you today. And this is my first time talking to a camera on live. And just to let you know that the camera adds 40 pounds. So this isn't me. This is definitely the camera. And also, I think my beard shows up white there, but it's blonde. So technology is not perfect, but it's better than nothing. It's all we've got. So in the last 2 months with COVID-19 and the horrendous shooting we've had in Portapec and around Nova Scotia and that little boy missing and presumed dead in Truro and the helicopter crash, we seem in here in Nova Scotia to be bombarded. There's a cloud over us. And with the benefit of social media and all that's going on, I have heard the name of Jesus Christ being mentioned many, many times in many different forms. I've heard the name of Jesus Christ being mentioned, the actual gospel being mentioned and preached on CBC and CTV, avenues that never happened before. And it's not surprising when you see the name of Jesus mentioned so many times in this social media gatherings that we have. It's not surprising because Jesus said, "I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail." So he's building his church, and even COVID-19 and even disasters and shootings will not prevail against it. His church will be better and when we come out the other side of this pandemic. But also I've heard the word arrogant being mentioned. I was watching a comedian do a stand-up bit, and he was funny up to a point. And then he started talking about Christianity, and he mentioned his bit was basically the arrogance of Christians for saying that Jesus is the only way to God. And people were roaring laughing. I thought, quite personally, it was quite arrogant until I peeled back some of the layers and realized that he just doesn't know. And a lot of people don't know out there, and a lot of people at face value think Christianity is arrogant for saying it's the only way, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and that all other ways are wrong. So we're going to dissect this question today, as in the limited time that we have. We're going to peel away some of the layers. And this message is not just for people that are asking this question or people that don't believe or people that are sitting on the fence. This is for believers too, people that are pretty confident that Jesus is the only way. But how can I get this across without sounding arrogant? I pray today that I don't sound arrogant in giving this message. That's one of the main things. But before we get to this arrogant stuff, and whether Christians are, or who's right and who's wrong, and the whole truth and non-truth stuff, I want to tell a story to illustrate this point in a human way. It's a story of a man named Brian Clark. And Brian was a businessman, worked for a brokerage firm. He was Canadian, by the way, but he was working in New York on the South Tower, 86th floor of the World Trade Center. And he was working the morning of 2011, 9/11 as we know it, or September 11th, 2001, what we call 9/11. And we can picture in our minds the buildings on fire, the whole disaster that it was. Brian not only worked for this firm, but he was also the fire warden for the floor. And basically, because of the terrorist attack in the mid-90s, the World Trade Centers decided to have each floor have a fire warden, no special training, didn't know how to put a fire out, but gave him a flashlight, a vest, and a whistle, and he knew the evacuation plan. And when this North Tower was struck at 8:46 a.m., Brian grabbed all his equipment because he thought his tower was hit. It was obvious by looking out the windows and seeing the debris and the wreckage of the North Tower and what the plane did to it that they were planning to evacuate, but the intercom came on and the security told them to stay where they were because they didn't want people emptying the building into the way of the firemen and rescue people, because they didn't know it was a terrorist attack. They just thought a plane went out of control and hit the building. And they did this and they felt relatively safe until at 9:03, United Flight 175 struck their tower at over 900 kilometers an hour. And the impact was just a few floors below where Brian's work was. The crash and the initial crash was absolutely horrendous. The damage was catastrophic, casualties and throughout his floor. But he reacted with his training, and he gathered up about, gathered up about 60 people and told them to follow him. Brian checked the two stairwells, B and C, and found them to be out of order. Elevators obviously are out of order. But he checked stairwell A, and he felt strongly that they could get down past the impact zone and out to safety. In fact, he was so confident, he begged people to follow him. He gathered up about 60, and they began to follow him down the flight of stairs, and they only got down one or two flights before they met a woman coming up with other people and said it was impassable to go. They got to go to the roof. They got to go up and wait for helicopters to rescue them. Brian argued with these people. He argued that he knew the way. Just follow him. And by the time the argument finished, he was left with himself and three others. They made their way down through the staircase and down past the wreckage impact zone. They made their way to safety. They got two blocks away from the building before it collapsed. All the other people that stayed above went to find their different paths. Some went to hunker down in a least smoky area and wait for firemen. Some tried to get to the roof, found out it was locked. Some broke windows and tried to get fresh air that way and wait for firemen. All had their other means and other ideas for safety, and they were all wrong. Brian's way was the truth. And we can look back at Brian's way and realize it was true that he knew the only way to safety. And I ask this question, was Brian arrogant for knowing the way out? Was he arrogant for begging people to follow him? Was he arrogant for even having an argument for people to follow him? Looking back, was his way the only way? Yes, it was. And we can look back on this just like we can look back 2,000 years at the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can realize when we study it and peel back the layers that he too was the only way. And I don't see arrogance in Brian, and I don't see arrogance in Christianity. But that's easy for me to say because I'm a Christian. But the question we're posing here today when I first started was, are Christians arrogant for saying that Jesus was the only way to heaven? And we got to start with the are Christians arrogant thing because, yeah, sometimes Christians are arrogant. They have been arrogant at times, even when they were walking the same paths as Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Glaring evidence of arrogance was the Crusades in the name of Jesus. That was kind of arrogant. The Inquisitions, all three of them were very arrogant. The burning of the witches thing was just a tad arrogant. And we can go on to all the guys and gals of different cults and David Koresh and the Branch Davidians who spoke the name of Jesus but did not represent him well at all. We see arrogance in some churches today where leaders, legalism, traditionalism, rituals that are allegedly speaking the gospel, speaking the good news of Jesus Christ, but are actually doing more harm than good. And I know, brace yourself, put your coffee down and hold your armchair and brace yourself, because I'm going to tell you something. Even yours truly has been arrogant at times in his walk with Jesus Christ. And I believe every Christian has at one time. So we need not to talk about Christians and in answering this question about them being arrogant, because everyone who's asking this question would recognize an arrogant Christian that they've met somewhere in the line. So let's leave Christian and arrogance out of it and retweak this question by asking, is Christianity arrogant for saying Jesus is the only way to heaven or to God? And are all other religions wrong? So we ask Christianity, what is it? The grassroots of Christianity. What's the foundation? And that's easy. Jesus. It's believing in him, trusting our lives to him, living for him, following him, being transformed by him, believing that Jesus came to earth to pay for our sin, to pay for an unpayable debt that we have, and he was the only one who could pay it. He went to the cross, and to believe this means eternal life in heaven with him. And that, in a brief, very brief synopsis, is the essence of Christianity. But on face value, it could be construed as a bit arrogant. But Christianity in itself is very unique. It flies in the face of every other religion out there. Religion, the definition in Webster's dictionary, is man's effort to reach a deity with the hopes of gaining or removing misfortune. All religions except Christianity believe in the got-to-do policy. What do I need to do to get right with my God or gods? And Christianity isn't a must-do religion. In fact, it's not a religion at all. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And many people believe you need to earn your way to your God. But that God, that earning your way to God policy, that, you know, that scale, good and bad policy, has some major flaws to it. Because the question asked is, how good do you have to be to earn your way to heaven? God doesn't tell us. Well, God does tell us. But it's not 90% good and 10% bad, 70% good, 30% bad. Maybe we can just squeak in with 51% good and 49% bad. In fact, some people believe that God's a nice fuzzy-wuzzy God, a Santa Claus type of God, where everyone eventually gets in. But we really don't know, because the measuring stick hasn't been laid out there for us. So religions are a way that men can think of that they can obtain the goal by pleasing their God. Those men that flew the planes into the World Trade Centers firmly believed they were doing the ultimate good for their God. And we think they're evil. Some religions think it's really hard to get there, so you need multiple lives. You need to keep going around and around. You have a crummy life this time. You're bound to have a crummy life next time. You try to improve on it and improve on it and get better and better until finally you reach the goal. The result of this is literally millions of people. Millions of people are classified as untouchables. No hope. No sense helping them, because you can't help them, because they are who they were. But Christianity has a can't-do policy instead of a good deed policy. You see, God gave us an answer. No one is good enough. And that sounds arrogant of God, doesn't it? No one can do enough right to get to God. It is nothing we can do. Humanity cannot do anything to earn their way to God. And the Bible says it pretty clearly in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Everyone on this earth. All have fallen short. All have sinned. And that keeps us a good distance away from a perfect God. See, God is perfect, and we'd want him to be perfect. We don't want him in any other way. Why would we want an imperfect God? So we have a perfect God who is considered holy, completely set apart, unique from all other gods or gods, small g gods and many, many gods and any deities that religions can think of. God is unique. He's perfect. And we aren't. We're tainted by the brush of sin. And we can't, with this sin debt on our shoulders, can't do enough right to get to God. So we're in a bit of a bind, aren't we? We're kind of spinning our wheels. That sounds like pretty bad news. And it is pretty bad news. And all other religions agree that people are sinners. All other religions agree that people aren't perfect. That's why religion was formed in the first place, to make a way to get to their God or gods. So mankind, with that sin debt, is behind the eight ball, but Almighty God had a plan. In fact, Almighty God had a plan, and he was going to be the center of the plan. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God so loved the world. I'd love to know what God contains in that little word, so. God so loved the world. The definition of so in that statement would be beyond our imagination or comprehension, because God so loved this world and the people in it, you and me, that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, his perfect Son, God in the flesh. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes. And who is in this whoever believes? It's not a cult. It's not a commune. It's not a select group. Whoever believes in him, no matter what is going on in a person's life, no matter what depth they are in a religion or non-religion, whether they're on the fence about this whole God and Jesus thing. You could be in jail. You could be an addict. You could be an atheist, period, and hate God. Everybody has the right and a chance to be part of that whoever believes and turn towards Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him for what he did, not for what you can do. For what he did. And the Bible says you can be saved. You will be saved. And that doesn't sound arrogant to me. You can be black or white or any race. You can be rich or poor, from royalty to rags. Those millions of untouchables can be touched. Those millions of people without hope have hope. They can be touched by Jesus and made whole. Bible says you're adopted into the family. You have the right to be called children of God. And that doesn't sound arrogant to me, does it? For all who believe will never perish but have eternal life, John 3:16 says. And no other religion has that. No other religion has a God who sacrificed himself to pay our debt. Those who believe are called Christians, and they make up Christianity. Brian Clark invited all to follow him down stairwell A that morning, and all could have joined him. Would have been arrogant if he said nothing, just whispered to those other three people and slinked down the stairs in secret. There was and is nothing secret about Jesus Christ and the good news of him. Jesus says he is the only way, and that's pretty exclusive. But ironically, the result is exclusive, but the invitation is inclusive. The invitation is for all. And let us look just briefly at a few verses that speak of this invitation for all people. John 14:6, and I'll be mentioning this one a couple times because it pretty well says it. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Notice he didn't say, "I am a way, I am one of the ways, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Does he sound a little arrogant? John 6:40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Everyone who turns to him and believes in him will have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, talking about Jesus, for there was no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5, 6, for there is one God, Paul writes, and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. There's one mediator between a holy God and a sinful people, Jesus Christ. No mention of anybody else, no mention of any small g god or bunch of gods, no mention of a religion or no mention of a must-do policy. Matthew 7:13 to 14, enter through the narrow gate, Jesus says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Narrow was stairwell A, bumpy and wreckage and debris, but it was the only way. And Jesus is the only way, and few find it. And that's just a few verses, but people will say, okay, Christianity on its face then doesn't sound arrogant. Maybe they'll admit that. But it's based on a book. And all religions, or most religions, have a book that they go by. So we need to tweak the question again. Is the Bible credible for saying Jesus is the only way? How can we believe this book? Well, the Bible's called holy because it's set apart. It's totally unique. Scripture is God-breathed or inspired. God laid out a historical plan, a spiritual plan, an evidentiary plan that's centered around Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the epicenter of the book of God's plan, and it focuses on the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything leads to that from the Old Testament, and everything from that looks back to the crucifixion. It's a plan for salvation of mankind, and that doesn't sound arrogant. It's a plan for not a select few, but for mankind if they turned to Jesus Christ. God didn't meet with a guy and dictate it all out in a sitting. No, he didn't, because he laid all the evidence out there for us to see. He was laying the evidence like pieces of a puzzle even before Jesus arrived on the scene, called messianic prophecies. And to prove it was God-breathed, he used over 40 people of all cultural status over a period of 1,500 years in three continents and three major languages that pointed in minute detail to Jesus, the Messiah, or Christ. No other book has that. These pieces of the puzzle spoke of where he was to be born, to whom, why he came, and why he had to die. Many were speaking about his last days. There's 20 prophecies that speak just over his last few days, including the cross, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension. And these were written hundreds of years before Jesus was born in a stable. One mathematician did a study on the messianic prophecies and determined that if just 40 out of a couple of hundred, but just 40 came true, and they did, that the odds were 1 in 40 with 147 zeros after it, and that is a big number. And they all came true. And that's not the best part. It pointed to what God did for us. It pointed to the good news available to all, and no other book or no other religious document speaks of that. And that, my friends, doesn't sound arrogant. So let's tweak the question again. Let's settle on, is Jesus arrogant for claiming he's the only way and that he was God in the flesh? Was Jesus arrogant for claiming that? The Bible claims numerous times that the Messiah or Christ is God incarnate. Jesus even said it himself, though some critics have said he never said it, that it's just made up, but he does. The Bible claims in John 1:1, the gospel writer John was writing, and he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word here was another name for Jesus. And so in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. John 8:58, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." And "I am" is not just me talking about him. He's talking the name of God himself. He is identifying himself as Yahweh, Jehovah. He did this 7 times in the Gospel of John alone and referred to it over 28 times, that Jesus was the great I am. John 14:6-7, we read this again. Jesus answered, "I am," identifying himself as God, "the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him because you have seen him." And they're just a few. Jesus also had a knack that's documented in the Bible by eyewitnesses of getting people's attention to get his message across. He performed thousands of miracles, not in secret, not just the could be made up, you know, maybe he could doctor it kind of miracles, but literally death-defying miracles. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the widow's son that he rose from the dead, brought back to life. All designed to give God the glory. Jesus never was in secret. He wasn't a secret agent. He taught and did miracles in large crowds, small crowds, on boats, water, houses, beaches, and especially on the cross and in the tomb and on the third day when he rose again. And he didn't keep it quiet then. He appeared and taught and ate and hunkered down and camped with literally hundreds of people after he left the tomb. And that doesn't sound arrogant to me, because no other religion can speak of this. No other religion can speak of this grace, this love, this evidence unfolding over centuries to corroborate the message of the gospel. Many people say that all paths lead to God, that God's on a mountain and many paths are there, and you work your way up and you get to the top and there you are, you're good to go. And there's many flaws with this kind of theory. First, all religions say they're right and everyone has it wrong. So they don't even agree with the same paths going up to the same God thing. Second, and it falls back to the must get up the path and get there idea, but God didn't stay on the mountain. God came down to us. The Bible says there's no way to make your way up the mountain to get to God, because God came down to be there for you. There was only one way past the impact zone of the World Trade Center, one way. And Jesus is saying he is the way. Jesus is saying he's literally the stairwell. Then we hear the pushback of they have their truths and you have your truths and everybody's truth and you got to be tolerant. And we are in a culture where tolerance is primary. But we've also mistaken tolerance for truth. And for some, it's hard to separate one from the other. But when we blend tolerance and truth, we get stuff like the wreckage of we see in our culture, in our morals. Our morals are completely out of whack, where anything imaginable or even non-imaginable can be acquired with the push of an enter button on a computer key. Even human life isn't relished and savored like it was designed to be. Tolerance is not truth. Jesus is saying he is the truth. Brian knew that stairwell A was the only way out. It was the truth, And he wasn't arrogant for saying so or believing so. And Jesus wasn't arrogant either when he left heaven and came to earth, not as a king or a prince or but as a servant in a lonely manger, born to a virgin. That doesn't sound arrogant. Was he arrogant for taking the crown of thorns on his perfect head? Was he arrogant for taking the lashes that ripped his flesh from his bones? Was he arrogant for taking his cross and carrying it in humiliation through the crowd down the streets of Jerusalem to the hill called Golgotha? Was he arrogant for taking the nails in his hands and his feet and being hung up in agony for us? Was he arrogant when he yelled from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them"? It doesn't sound arrogant. Was he arrogant for breathing his last and declaring that his mission was finished? His mission was accomplished. His mission was completed. And his mission was to be the way of man's redemption. And it was in his last breath. Was he arrogant for that? He certainly wasn't arrogant when he rose again to give us all a chance to be saved by what he did. Personally, I don't think Jesus was arrogant for taking over my life. That day in March 2005, when I surrendered my life to him, and he took me and saved me. Because I remember when I was arrogant. I remember when I was arrogant, thinking he was arrogant. I remember cursing his name in the course of an 8-hour shift, and Jesus yelled down from the cross, "Forgive Dennis, Father, for he knows not what he does." There's a bunch of people listening out here today and watching this that have experienced that same grace that don't think Jesus was arrogant at all. And I know people who were wrapped up in addictions, control, that was me, disorders of any kind, dysfunction. I know people who thought they had all the answers. I know people who thought they were too good for Jesus. All kinds of people. But these people were reborn by the grace and love of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. Not perfect by any means, but covered by the grace of Jesus Christ. I know people that live right in this community of Parsboro and the surrounding areas that would never consider Jesus arrogant for doing what he did for them. And what does Jesus tell us to do with this information? He tells us to tell other people. The Bible says, tell other people, not with arrogancy, even though we may slip into that sometimes, but the Bible says to tell other people with love and grace like Jesus would. To tell others, and I don't personally think telling others is being arrogant. In fact, if I didn't tell people about Jesus Christ, that would be the most arrogant thing I could think of. Before we wind up, I invite anyone who's listening today, who's on the fence, who's inquiring about Jesus, who's asking that same question, who hasn't surrendered or given their life over into the hands of Jesus Christ, but want to know more information, I urge you to get a hold of Open Arms. Find out about this wonderful gift of grace that only Jesus can give. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. If you're thinking about accepting Christ, just pray to him. Accept him. Give yourself up to him. There's no special rites or traditions or things that you have to go through. There's no test you have to pass. Just give your life over to him. And you could do it today. But please tell somebody about it, because this is news that has to be shared. If you're here today and you're a believer in Christ, but you've kind of wandered and tripped and stumbled and fell into the ditch a couple of times on the journey, just turn back to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him and pull yourself up out of the mire. Give yourself back over to him, because he will control you with his very loving arms. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the time we could spend together, believers and non-believers, and people who are asking questions and seeking answers, and some who still think we're arrogant, and that Jesus is arrogant for saying he's the only way. But Lord, I pray that your word can pierce those souls and those hearts, and do a miraculous transformation in people's lives. Lord, I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that by trusting in you, we can never perish, but have eternal life with you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.